Okay, so I love the Saints. And before you even ask, I'm not talking about the football team that plays down in New Orleans, though they're pretty cool. No, I love the Saints. We have been talking about in this series that we're in, the Kingdom of Saints. We began it 2 Sundays ago on All Saints Sunday, which, in my opinion, is probably one of the most heartfelt services that we do in the life of the church. Because on All Saints Sunday, we get to come together as a church community and call out the names of those that we have lost over the past year. We get to remember them and give thanks for their lives and for the fact that while they are not with us physically anymore, they are reunited with Jesus in heaven. It's a special day as we honor them. And this past Sunday, Pastor Ricky, he walked us through what it means to be a saint here on earth. And if you remember what he said, what he talked about that being a saint on earth doesn't mean that you're perfect. Being a saint on earth doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Being a saint on earth means pursuing ways to live in the kingdom of God in the here and the now. The ways that we live now prepare us and how we will live in the kingdom of eternity. And to be sure, a kingdom is coming. And that, my friends, is where we are today. We're going to talk about this kingdom of heaven and what it looks like and who runs it. My favorite part about the kingdom of God is that the saints that we are called to live like, they're not in charge. So take a deep breath. We're not in charge. We absolutely, though, have a part to play. We have been invited to partner with the Holy Spirit and to spread the gospel so that more people can come to know Jesus. But we're not on the throne. Rather, a king, that's who's in charge. And this king defies all kinds of expectations from the very beginning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. And don't worry, if you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your ears, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. For it is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's be honest. The start of today's scripture is not how any of us would have expected it to start when we get to this prophecy about the coming of the King of Kings. And let there be no mistake, that is what the prophecy is about. It is about the Messiah coming, but not in the way that we would expect. I mean, if you look at verse 1, it starts with the words, "Woe to the shepherds." Jeremiah begins this prophecy with a promise of trouble, a promise of misfortune that would fall upon those who have played a role in the destruction of the pasture. Now, I would guess that if any one of us were writing this prophecy about the coming king, we wouldn't start out with a promise of misfortune. This is supposed to be a happy story, isn't it? I mean, Jeremiah is about to prophesize about the coming of the king, about the Messiah, the one who is going to save us all. This isn't just good news. This is the best news. And yet, that is how the prophecy starts out. Very unexpectedly. However, that's on brand with the narrative of this story. Because God has a way of accomplishing his goals with methods that are often unexpected, with methods that are unconventional and different. And we see that play out in our own lives as well as in the scriptures. I mean, just think about shepherds. So shepherds are a commonly talked about profession in the scriptures. In fact, this profession is often brought up here at church. From a very early age, we are taught here in the church that shepherds have a role to play in the kingdom of God. In just a couple of weeks, our kids are going to come and perform a kids' Christmas program, and we have kids who are going to be, their entire job is to be shepherds. And they're super excited about that. To be a shepherd in the Christmas play is of great importance, because who were the first to know about the birth of Jesus from the angels? Shepherds. They were the first to hear the good news. And yet, while shepherds are brought up now as a people who played a big role in the story of the birth of Jesus, they weren't popular back in the day. In fact, the role of a shepherd was known to be dirty. Shepherds were people who lived where they worked. They didn't go out to the field for 8 hours and then go back home. No, they hung out in the fields for days on end at a time. The people they hung out with were either other shepherds or, more often than not, the sheep that they were to corral. Simply put, to be a shepherd wasn't a job of glory or a job of honor. In fact, it was the opposite, because it was a messy job. Animals smell. Shepherds had to deal with the hottest of hot days and the coldest of cold nights. A shepherd got zero glory or honor. They didn't have banquets thrown in their honor or for their good work. And whether that's right or not, they were looked down upon by everyone in society. And here in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3, we have Jeremiah prophesying about the fact that the Lord himself, that God Almighty, would be stepping down and taking on the role of a shepherd. Because the shepherds at the time had failed to lead God's people. So God was stepping in. He was going to come and replace them as the shepherd who would lead the flock back to God. The king is indeed coming, and it is a king that the people of Israel didn't see coming. Because rather than him coming with flowing purple robes and jewels and crowns and accolades, the king would be coming humbly. He would be serving from the fields rather than serving from the throne. In fact, we see this come up in the New Testament quite frequently. If you look at John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, as he often does, and in the middle of this conversation with the Pharisees, he just finally declares, "I am the king." Unsurprisingly, the Pharisees don't like this, and a couple verses down, they make this known. Because Jesus was not who were they expecting, they accused him of having ill intent. They assumed the very worst about Jesus, going so far as accusing him of being possessed by the devil. We see a similar theme pop up in the scriptures. You see, time after time, God utilizes those who were unconventional, who were unexpected, to further the kingdom. In 1 Samuel, God uses a little shepherd boy named David to defeat Goliath. And David would grow up and become a king. Abraham and Sarah were far past childbearing age years, and yet an entire nation came from their bloodline. Peter was a quitter, a denier, and later God used him to build up the kingdom in the book of Acts. Paul was an enemy of Jesus Christ, going so far as to point people away from him. And yet God uses him, and Paul becomes one of the most prolific believers in the early church. Each one of these people experiences, I would imagine, at least once or twice, this feeling of being unqualified, of not being good enough. I think that's something that many of us in this room might experience as well. I know that I have in my life. I mean, I can think of a couple times this year that I have felt like that. I have. This year, okay, example, I broke my ankle last year. Many of you lived that with me. Thank you. So I broke my ankle and could not walk or drive, and that was extremely difficult because I still kept working because they could not make me stay home, even though they tried. And I worked with our youth, and I took a group of 50 students and parents and volunteers to a retreat. And I felt very unequipped on my little knee scooter in those moments because I could not physically walk. I just felt unqualified during that entire season. But then I would remember reading about all of these people that God used time and time again in Scripture to help usher in His kingdom. These people that were unqualified, these people that were unconventional, and that would help remind me that it's not about me, and it's not about my qualifications. It is about God using me to help usher in the kingdom. Let me say that one more time. It is not about us. It's not about whether we're qualified or good enough. But it's about God, who longs to use each and every one of us to shepherd His people. As you can see from the very beginning of Scripture, the Lord chooses time and time again to use people who have made mistakes to advance the kingdom as we know it, defying all expectations. The same is true today. And this king that Jeremiah prophesies about, this king, well, he will come from a branch of David, and he will pursue righteousness, and he will be a light of justice in a world that is full of an injustice and hurt and brokenness. And he will reign in his kingdom in ways that are unexpected, in ways that people may not always anticipate or welcome. Now, Jeremiah doesn't just give us a prophecy in today's text. He actually gives us each an invitation as well. I'm going to read verse 4 for us. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. As Pastor Ricky reminded us last week, we are called to pursue a life of sainthood. And that doesn't mean that we pursue a life of perfection where we make no mistakes. We will make mistakes. But that does mean that we are a people that are committed to following Christ. And when we follow Christ, we're set apart. We are made different. We are made new for a purpose. Being a saint in this world comes with an invitation to partner with the Lord, to usher in His kingdom, to accomplish His goals. And if the King of Kings, if the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the one who reigns forever, if He chose to come into the world in this way, in ways that are unexpected and different, then should we not also advance the kingdom in ways that might look different than what we expected, in ways that might be unconventional, in ways that society might look down upon. I see Jesus at work all the time around this church. This is a community of people who are full of servant-hearted folks. We have volunteers that fill the kitchens, not just on Wednesdays, but on other days in the week as well as they prepare for Wednesday night meals. We have volunteers that are dedicated to come up here and spend time with our youth every single Sunday night. We have people who come into the office every day and answer the phone and write cards and do all kinds of things that are behind the scenes that you'll never know about. I mean, look right here in front of me. We filled 102, with some in the office, boxes, because this church is a church of servants. But this week, I got to witness two servants do something that probably will go unnoticed by a lot of us. So I'm going to tell you about it. So across campus, we've had a couple of light bulbs out. You may not notice them unless you're here at nighttime. And then if you are here at nighttime, you'll notice them quickly. And last week and this week, not one but two people went around and changed the light bulbs. Now, I know these two people well enough to know that they have busy schedules. They had other projects that they could be working on. And yet, not once did they bring that up. Not once did they say they had something else they could be doing. They saw a need, and they met it. They didn't think about all of the other things on their to-do list. No, those two people stepped into the role of a shepherd in that moment. And they led the flock. And yes, they led the flock in ways that are unexpected, in ways that could go unnoticed. They wouldn't want me to tell you who they are, but these two men, they were saintly shepherds this week. And it wasn't in a big, grand way, but in the small ways. And that is often what it looks like to be a shepherd. It looks different than what you might imagine it to look like. Amazingly, the same can be said for being a king. Sometimes being a king is putting on the purple robe and wearing a crown. But more often than not, being a king means stepping into a field and getting dirty so that the flock can be reunited with the shepherd. As we enter into Advent, friends, we enter into a season where we get to see all of the amazing and unexpected ways that Jesus came to earth. In ways that we are being invited to participate in. So that we can share the love of Jesus. And be shepherds as well, as we are cared for by the ultimate shepherd. As you go throughout the week, whatever your week looks like, whether you're working all week or you're preparing for family to come into town, I want you to remember that you have been invited to participate in shepherding those to Jesus. You have been invited to be in relationship with the man who left the throne and came onto the fields to wield his righteousness and tend to the sheep. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks that we are not in charge, that you have invited us to walk alongside and partner with the Holy Spirit, but in no way, shape, are we in charge. God, thank you for that truth. God, we pray that we would be a people this week as we go out into the world, that we would be a people who help to usher in your kingdom, that we would be a people who serve as you have called us to serve, that we would be a people who are willing to follow the shepherd and be a part of the flock that you have promised what you would take care of. It's in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.